Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but I don't. They probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
He's awesome.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, not joined by my marvelous co-host, Evan Witalison, this evening. Evan, feeling a little bit under the weather with a major migraine, and we've talked on this show about the concussions and player safety. For the loyal listeners, they know Evan was in a car accident about a year ago, still suffering some effects from that concussion. I had multiple concussions growing up, and being a little bit older, the way they treat concussions now is, you know, concussion protocol, testing, cleared by doctors. I'll tell you, I look back at my playing days, and I know for a fact that I had at least two concussions that were undocumented, that it was just a headache, and growing up, I'm not going to use any bad words on this show. It's a family show. It's, you know, a G-rated show. But basically, in my generation growing up, if you were an athlete, you weren't missing a game because of a headache. And that's how they treated it back then. It was a headache. So take some aspirin, rest. Okay, you don't have to practice today because you got a bad headache. It'll be okay. Take some aspirin. That's literally, and I'm not lying about, you know, the way it was treated. That's the way the coaches were, and you did not want to let your team down. It was just you played with a headache. Now, if you got knocked out and things of that nature, that's different. Couldn't walk right. But I know for a fact there was two times that I probably had a minor concussion, headache for 3-4 days straight. You know, those things aren't normal. But back then, the way the world was. So wanted to throw that in there. We haven't discussed that topic in a long time. I'm sure we will as the NFL season rolls along. But tonight we had planned on talking Rio Olympics. We haven't really talked much Olympics on the show the past week since the Olympics started. And the Olympics got started before the opening ceremonies. I always think that's a little crazy that they do that, but it is the way that it's set up schedule-wise to make sure you get all the events in. But, you know, these Olympics, I guess, started with a bang. You know, there was some controversy about Zika virus and all these things, and so people were scared to go down there. It hasn't really been talked about much when I'm watching coverage anyway, and that's a good thing. I mean, that is something that definitely we want to have it controlled. I mean, it's a major, major health issue. But I'm glad that it's not being talked about because it looks like the athletes are having fun. And that's why I love the Olympics. Yeah, I know there's professional athletes that are in the Olympics. You know, you're looking at women's professional basketball players, looking at professional basketball players. I think that's a different debate for a different day. But even the professionals look like they're having fun. And I guess if you're the American team, why wouldn't you have fun? Now, today's game, we'll talk about this in a little bit. Today's game, they were tested a little bit. But, you know, you're looking at a team that is just literally built with superstars. I mean, that's what it is, the superstar team. And where do you give the rock up to? Carmelo Anthony, a great game today. And like I said, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But when I look at the Olympics, and I don't sit down and watch every event. I don't DVR the event, but I turn it on. I have DirecTV, so Channel 205 now is the Olympic coverage. You can go watch, and they show 3-4 different events on different channels. I was watching the Venezuela-China basketball game before the show, and there is a huge difference between the level of talent in countries like Venezuela and China compared to the U.S. And just the size of the players, I'm looking at this big man for Venezuela. I believe his last name is Enrique. He's their center. And yes, he's a lot bigger than the China big man, but comparative to the smallest guy on the U.S., that would be a favorable matchup. You know, when I look at these other countries, and it's interesting to watch, though, and at the end of the day, they're having fun. So what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong at all, and that's why I like the Olympics. It looks like fun. Now, granted, they have put a lot of time and a lot of training in and the agony of defeat. I mean, you can tell when people are upset when they fail and they don't win a medal, or they make a mistake in gymnastics or swimming when they have a bad heat. You know, they practice so hard to be perfect, and now you're on the center stage of Olympics. I just enjoy it. So day five in the books, and honestly, it seems like a lot longer than 5 days for the Olympics, but that's really all it's been. And, you know, one thing I do is we're on Twitter a lot, so if you're not following us, go to @RedLightSports, follow us. But when you log in, it has live, Rio Olympics Day 5. And I like it because it's all Twitter pictures, and you can follow the Olympic tweet handle. But, you know, we're just gonna talk about some of the things that are going on in the Olympics so far, memorable moments up to this point. Start right at the top with Michael Phelps. How can that not be a memorable moment? I mean, this is a guy, and, you know, people, and I knew it was going to come out. I just knew it. The whole fiasco with smoking the bong, doing those things, you knew it had to come up at some point. So you watch social media and the jokes and so on and so forth. However, this is a man that has won 21, not one, 21 medals, gold medals. I believe his medal count is 25, if I'm correct. 21 gold medals. I don't even think he could wear all those around his neck without having a major neck injury. So you've got to give the guy credit as one of the most decorated swimmers in American history. And it's just, you watch the guy swim, and whether you like him or not, you've got to give him credit for what he does in the pool. I mean, this guy is just an amazing swimmer, just unbelievable. And so when I turn on the TV and turn on the Olympics, I definitely, if I see swimming, I actually would never watch swimming outside of the Olympics. I guess I can share a story. When I was in college, we shared a locker room with the swim team. Our locker room was right off the swimming pool. And honestly, those swimmers are crazy. You know, I thought soccer guys were crazy, but swimmers are really crazy. And I'm just talking personality-wise. They were a lot of fun to hang around with as we shared that locker room. You know, the one thing I never understood, though, is the shaving of the body. Shaving of the legs and you know, all that thing, you know, and they were in that locker room doing those things, but they're crazy. But again, men's swimming, U.S. swimming at a level, I don't think it gets talked about. It doesn't get talked about unless it's Olympic time. You know, and these guys train, and the world of swimming, very competitive. And I only watch it at the Olympic time, so I can't sit here and talk about, you know, hey, this is the right technique in the 200 meter. This is the right technique in the butterfly. I have no idea. I am as dumb as a doorknob when it comes to talking about technique for swimming. But I can tell when somebody's having a good heat. You can tell when they have a good start. You can tell when they finish strong. And I'll tell you, Michael Phelps is on a mission. You know, on a huge mission. So congratulations to Michael Phelps, 21 gold medals. Another, again, just going down on the Twitter feed, and who would have ever thought that, you know, beach volleyball would have been a Olympic sport? But there is an American woman, Kerry Walsh Jennings. And I have to give props to her. I was watching this, and she is 24-0 in Olympic play. She's never lost in the Olympics. So that's a feat in itself. You know, volleyball, again, how often do you watch it? it's why the Olympics, another reason why the Olympics are so neat is you watch sports that you probably would never watch ever again outside of the Olympics, like volleyball, beach volleyball. I can't remember a time when I've turned on ESPN. I've seen it on TV before, but I clicked away from that faster than I could. But I have to give props to Kerry Walsh Jennings for being undefeated in Olympic play. I mean, again, that is a feat amongst itself. As you go down to, I want to talk about the U.S. men's basketball team today. So the final score, 98-88, which is probably, you never want to say that there is a mental victory. But you have to think that's what Australia had. However, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, you still lost. And like I said, this U.S. team, where do you distribute the ball? I mean, where do you go? Kevin Durant was a guy early on. Today, it was Carmelo's day. And I didn't realize this until I was researching for the show, and I'm like, well, yeah, we're going to talk about memories and things that are going on. So watching the U.S. men's basketball team, I didn't realize that Carmelo Anthony is now actually the all-time Olympic point-scoring leader. He surpassed King James today. I didn't realize that. It goes to show that a list of the top four scorers in USA history: Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James, David Robinson, and Michael Jordan. What a list that is. And so it goes, how do you compete on a national stage if you're another country against the likes of a Carmelo Anthony and a LeBron James and a David Robinson and a Michael Jordan? It's kind of unfair. But the rule is made. Professionals can now play in the Olympics. And so you would think, and I don't know what these other countries, but these players that are out there, I know they're out there representing their country, and that is an honor in itself. But I wonder how many of those guys are thinking in the back of their mind, if I have a great Olympics and I play really good basketball in this Olympic tournament, could I get a shot in the NBA? I know there's professional leagues overseas and in all the other countries, but I would imagine if you want to be one of the best, that your goal would be to try and get in the NBA. So it would be interesting to try to pick the brains of some of the top players from the other squads and see if they're thinking that. See if not only is it a chance to play for your country, but a chance to audition for NBA teams. Because you know the NBA scouts are watching. And if they're not watching and somebody has a great tournament, Lord knows they're going to hear about it via Twitter, via just other people in the organization, like, hey, we need to go get some film on this guy, and maybe we'll give him a shot. But the U.S. men's basketball team, as I talked about, the biggest story would be if they lose. But I think the biggest story is that Australia was within 10 points, which, like I said, it's not a loss for the United States, but it was a game where this was not in doubt, where they went out and dominated start to finish and, you know, threw up 120 points. Now, they actually had to play in this game. And that, to me, that is great. Because it's a foregone conclusion the U.S. is going to win gold every time they step foot in the Olympics with the teams that they can put together. And I would never say I want the U.S. to lose, ever. And I think it would be heartbreaking. But can you imagine, folks, can you imagine if the U.S. would get defeated in the Olympics? And I would have to say it's got to happen at some point. It has to happen. I don't want it to happen. Again, like I'm saying, I'm not cheering against the U.S. But you would imagine that there's going to be that game where some country hits lightning in a bottle. It is, everything is going in. They shoot lights out from 3 points, and the U.S. can't hit, and they can't hit the broadside of a barn. I mean, the stars have to align for this to happen, right? But think about that, folks. Just think about this. Can you imagine if this dominating U.S. squad would lose? I can't imagine the outpour on Twitter about the U.S. losing. And like I said, it's hard to fathom that they would lose with so many clutch players and so many dominating players. But at some point, those stars will align and some country is going to shoot lights out and just play the game of their lives, and the U.S. will struggle. And that will be certainly a very memorable moment of any Olympics. So, you know, moving forward, you know, you got the women's basketball team. Now, here's another thing that it almost reminds me right now, women's basketball, of when I was growing up in the U.S. women's soccer team that pretty much was the same as we're talking with men's basketball. It's like, are they going to lose? How can they lose? You know, with the likes of Mia Hamm. I grew up and Mia Hamm was the all-world player at that time. And so you have now women's basketball and you're looking at these female athletes out there for the U.S. and oh my, they're darn good athletes and they can shoot the rock. So I watch, you know, women's basketball a little bit and, you know, again, these other countries, you know, maybe struggle to put a women's team together. So it'll be interesting to see how that all pans out. And so now I'm going to flip back, though, and I'm going to flip back to women's swimming. And Maya Gerardo, you got to tip your hats to her as she got a bronze medal in the 200-meter individual medley. And so congratulations to her. Again, swimming very competitive as far as the world stage. And on the U.S. side, again in swimming, you had Katie Ledecky, who wins her second gold, and she won two golds now in the Rio Olympics, so hats off to her. And again, I watched swimming just in the Olympics. You know, these are people I'd never heard of before today. You know, I don't follow swimming. I didn't even follow the trials or anything like that. Congratulations to swimming. And I wanted to finish up now, and I'm looking at the time. And man, even solo, I tell Evan all the time, 30 minutes goes fast. We only got just over 10 minutes left in this show. For those that are loyal listeners, you know, we talked about why we liked the Olympics a few weeks ago. And I mentioned, how can you not relate the Summer Olympics to women's gymnastics? And we had a wonderful guest on a couple weeks ago talking about the Olympics. Just look at this team that has been assembled. You got Gabby Douglas, who is a dominant player in her own right that plays a minimal role on this team now. And then you have, of course, Simone Biles. There's no way to explain this. There's no way to explain how she is. Watching her in the Olympics is just like, wow. I mean, it's just like, wow. And how can you not help but to stop what you're doing if it's on TV and just sit down and watch her? And that's what I call gymnastics, a performance. These ladies are out there performing. And again, with such grace and elegance and passion in this U.S. team, the only thing that was probably going to stop them from winning gold was themselves. And they went out and performed. They dominated. It wasn't even close. Not even close. And that just tells you how big of a gap there is. And when you look at the training that goes on. We had talked to our guest about this, and I had asked the question straight up. Why is the U.S. women's team so dominant in gymnastics? And when you look at the trials and the training that goes on, the feeder program from youth to the Olympic level, I mean, it's so organized, completely organized, that you have the cream of the crop going down to Rio this year. And it was Laura Hopkins. I had to look it up, and it slipped my mind. It's a show, so if you want to listen to this interview, folks, go to the Red Light Sports Network on Blog Talk Radio and look up our episode on 713. And Laura Hopkins joined the show, and she's contributing, actually, for the Olympics as a statistician. But she had mentioned that the feeder program and all the tryouts and all the camps that these young ladies go to over the years. And then we talked about some of the people that were left off the team. And if you took the five people that were left off of our team, five in line, as they would have been ranked by the U.S., they probably could have competed against the U.S. team and done better than the other countries that are out there. That's how big of a gap there is. Now, you're going to have individuals. As we get to individual events, it would be great if the U.S. could win gold in every individual event. That would be awesome. But it's probably not going to happen. The other countries are going to have individuals that are very good in certain events, and they can beat the U.S. But when you look at each of the participants on this U.S. team, each of them has an opportunity to win a medal. I really believe that. And it'll be interesting. And again, I don't set my schedule up and say, ooh, I got to watch it. But if it's on, I'm going to sit down and watch it. I'll stop what I'm doing because I enjoy watching these ladies perform. So good luck to the U.S. women's gymnastics team. They already won the gold in the team all around. And now it's going to be individual events. And that'll be fun to see. And then, of course, I'm going to finish up. Just a couple odds and ends. Loyal listeners know I'm a big soccer guy. I coach soccer, played soccer, so I love soccer. And the U.S. women's team, finishing first in the group, and then they're not sure who they're going to play yet, but they've advanced out of their group, as I thought they would. So congratulations to the U.S. women's soccer team. I really believe they have a great chance to take home a medal, possibly the gold. This is a team that, in my mind, is playing really good soccer at this point. They don't know, again, who they're going to play on Friday. It'll be either Australia, China, or Sweden. And they should, it'll be a good game because now you've advanced out of your group and now you've got the top teams in the world. But this U.S. women's soccer team, I think, has put together a squad that is getting back to that dominant women's squad of years back that I was talking about. And it's fun to watch them play. I didn't watch them for a while when they were struggling and having, I want to say they were having issues. But I guess I was spoiled growing up with the U.S. women's national team because they were so dominant. And then the other countries kind of caught up with them a little bit. And what I mean by caught up with them is the talent level of other countries, they were able to compete. And I'm not saying that the U.S. program kind of went into a lull. I do think that the rest of these countries, the talent got a little bit better on the women's side. And now I think the U.S. women's program, I don't even want to say that it redefined what they wanted to do. It just seems like there's a totally different attitude since the World Cup and the way that this U.S. team has been put together, the way that they're now developing the whole system. I like what they're doing on the women's side. That's all I have tonight, folks. Show in the books. Wish Evan best. He'll be back tomorrow night, hopefully. Hopefully his headache does not go beyond today. But, again, go follow us on Twitter, at Red Light Sports. Definitely would love to hear from you. Love to interact with fans. But as we get together tomorrow night, Evan and I are going to talk probably NFL football. 6 games on the slate tomorrow night, so we'll talk a little bit of football. Join us tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Have a good night, everyone. We'll get back at you tomorrow night.